Welcome back, everyone, to the NTV 360 podcast. I am stoked to have on our director of digital marketing services, Sean Givens. Sean's a friend of mine, a very talented individual, and obviously leads our expansive and exponentially growing digital marketing services team here. Sean, first off, thank you for taking the time to come on. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me on. It's always a good time.
It definitely is. So yeah, just to kind of kick things off, tell me a little bit more about your background. Obviously, you've been an entrepreneur, own multiple ventures. You've been from a background of sales, operations, obviously digital marketing, things like that. So if you don't mind, kind of take us through that just a little bit.
Of course. I mean, I've always just enjoyed learning different sectors. Growing up, business was always just something I thought was amazing. It's a way of transferring value across an entire society. And I've just enjoyed figuring out how it works, right? So I actually started off as a press operator at one point and worked really hard doing all of that. Printing is not an industry that's going into the future as much. So I figured I'd go in some other directions. I ended up going into the manufacturing field for a while, ran a couple of different crews there for a massive manufacturing facility. It actually provided all the wiring for Otis elevators across the country. So ran a couple of crews there. That led me to what's known as a Kaizen team, which is the Japanese word for continuous improvement. It's what Toyota uses to consistently make their products better over time. And so that taught me how to take a microscope into a certain area, and it's amazing the value you can create just by saving a few seconds here and there across different processes. And so it allowed me to learn how to work with different individuals to make a better system overall. So that was really fun. That eventually led me into liquidation world. So I traveled across the country, living in different sectors and different areas for 6 months at a time, where I would liquidate distribution centers and like Kmart's and Target's and grocery stores. So I got to learn about the back end of how all these places worked and dismantle them as they were going through bankruptcies. And so it got me to see a whole nother side of business on that side. And so we would take those assets, take them over into different facilities across the country, and then reestablish them over there as well. So I got to meet a lot of people, see a lot of places, and that was a lot of fun. That eventually led me to opening up my own retail store. So retail's difficult nowadays. You've got a lot of overhead. You got a lot of things going on. There's a lot of e-commerce. So built an e-commerce store out of that as well. That did pretty well until I just found this passion here. It felt like it brought everything together of my passions, where I was able to support people's dreams in a local community with small businesses. So not only do we get to help our partners that we're working with to be able to develop their own businesses, become part of their own cultures and their own areas, but they also get to support other small business owners' dreams and developing and building their business as well. So it felt like a combination of everything that I've learned up until this point that helped me to do something I can have a passion about.
I love that. I love that Kaizen approach. That's really neat. Actually, I'm going to look more into that after this podcast. Obviously, you have an extensive background, come from a lot of different areas, but why digital marketing? Why is that something that you really wanted to kind of use to start building as a primary focus of your career moving forward?
Sure. I think digital marketing is an extremely interesting sector, just in general. Across the board, there's so many new things that are developing consistently in this area. So it's never just like all right, I'm selling print advertising and next week I'm going to sell that same ad in that same place and maybe find a new market. There's something developing all of the time. I mean, even with the way that SEO and the way that we engage with people constantly updates and changes. I mean, even the definition right now of SEO is shifting from search engine optimization to search everywhere optimization, because it's consistently molding and changing with AI and all of these new venues that you have. Social media pops up and then it becomes a huge wave and then a new app will come along. So there's always something new to learn and to grow in. And so that really just satiates that hunger that I have to learn and to develop something new. But it's a really unique way to get out in front of everyone. And there's always some new avenue that we can chase.
You know, search everywhere optimization. Love that term, because, you know, everything is really all encompassing, especially with the way people have been searching these days. It's changed. Yeah. Rapidly, is continuing to change with voice and obviously AI and that kind of stuff. So with being part of a sector that is evolving so frequently, because I even think about, you know, growing up, I don't know about you, but I use MySpace. Yeah. You know, half the people I was, don't even know what that is now, right?
Then your friends get mad at your top eight.
Yeah. Get your music in the game, you put it on profile. We had like dial-ups, took about an hour to load your page. You go from that, you know, obviously all these different social media platforms where I'm going with this, kind of continue to develop different aspects of the internet, even how websites function, even how people use websites, all that kind of stuff, like you said, is evolving. How do you keep up with that? with having to sell advertising on all these different platforms, on all these different websites, things like that, how do you keep up with all these trends?
A lot of studying.
I can imagine that.
I mean, I'm a part of so many different podcasts like this that provide value for all kinds of people. There are leaders in this space that I consistently am listening to, reading books, reading articles. I actually have an online trade show today that is going into the power of the trade desk and what they're doing on their end. So Google
Wow.
runs these things, and you're just consistently staying on top of any articles that you can read, and then just going through and developing deeper and deeper into each of the areas that we go into. So whether it's websites, there's always something to learn about a new way that you can implement the technology. If you're going into the SEO world, there's new tactics being developed all the time, and Google will release a lot of these things out there, and people dissect these 150-page articles that they're releasing, and you just have to constantly stay engaged. So that's something I'm constantly doing, whether it's with Facebook or TikTok, and then there's political things that get involved in it, and whether or not it's going to go into the future or not. So it's a whole lot of just using my free time and space. I mean, even when I'm not here in the office, I'm listening to something in my car, I'm reading a book, I'm just getting engaged in some way or another. And then I also have just a fantastic team of people who are doing the same, but more integrated into their own areas. So they'll find something that maybe I don't, and we have weekly meetings to discuss different directions that we're going to take things.
We have this suite of products here, and it's a massive one at this point. What are those products, if you don't mind, Kim, kind of giving a bit of an overview, and why those products? Why do we use those with a specializing in indoor digital billboards? Why do we choose this suite?
Well, I think with our space in retail TV, everything always takes this idea of how do they play together? How do we build a broader sense of connectivity between everything? And so when we take a look at a service or a product, it's not only is it going to be valuable for our clients, which a lot of them are in that SMB space, right? So there are certain pieces that may make sense for different marketing companies, but we understand where our core business is, and we're always developing around that core business, which is why Google Business Profiles and social media and these things that can really help everyday businesses, we really try to focus on more than something that is going to be for, Kmart, or that doesn't exist anymore, but Walmart, those types of things. Those larger organizations really aren't what we're building around. We're building around communities. We're building around making sure that it plays off of the indoor digital billboard space that we have. And so we broke it down into foundational pieces, lead gen pieces, branding and awareness pieces, and we put them into separate buckets based off of affordability for certain businesses, but also how they're going to play together. So a big piece of that is if we think about the indoor billboard, what we're doing is going through thought exercises all the time as a team. When we're looking at an indoor digital billboard, what's the next step? What's going to happen? How is it going to actually go out into the community and make a difference? Well, if you're sitting at a gym or your bar or the dentist office, when you're looking up at that screen, most likely you're not just going to stop whatever you're doing and get in your car and drive directly over to that business and make a purchase. Wish it was that simple, but at the end of the day, there is an ecosystem of things. They all have to feed into each other to get to that end result. And so when we look at that screen, the next step is, well, they're going online. They're going to look at what your online presence looks like, which is why we talk about that foundation so heavily, because just like building a home or building anything else, even in sports, right? If you've got your foundation down, then everything else becomes easier. And so if I just decided to skip and go to step three and just start dumping a bunch of audience into your website, well, is your website ready for that? Do you have that online presence? And that brings us back to the screens. When someone sees that, they're going to look you up online. So we focus heavily on, are they going to be able to find you on Google Business Profile? Or is your competition taking advantage of the fact that they're putting in more effort into that area and they'd be able to take some of that attention away from you when they get online? Same thing with your social media. Instagram just became the second most popular search engine on the planet. So you've got Google
Wow.
and then you've got Instagram. Because people want engaging content that can explain something in a way that text might not be able to get across. And so they're looking for things everywhere. And so when we can create a really strong presence online on their social media, on their Google Business Profile, and then the crux of everything, the real foundation, that website, if it's strong, if it has the right call to action, if it's got the right technical SEO to be found, then when you go and put these very effective ads throughout your community and you start to saturate and people start to look you up, they're going to have a higher rate of closing and making it to that point of actually reaching out to you, making that final decision, because where they went was still engaging and that it was doing what it needed to do to capture you and bring you in.
That's a phenomenal roadmap you just laid out in analogies. Let's kind of break that down piece by piece, if you don't mind. So you mentioned the foundation, obviously, the foundational products. That's what you have to start with, start to build that presence, like you said. Do you mind breaking that down a little bit further? What are those exact products that are part of that foundational piece?
Yeah.
And how do those kind of get going, if you will?
Yeah, so we start, and we actually created a roadmap, like an illustration, because the hardest thing about digital marketing is being able to make sure that the person that you're speaking with is understanding the value of what's happening. And so we break things down into stories, into metaphors, because that's just the way that the human mind likes to absorb information. And so we created this roadmap. It starts with the website, right? That's going to be the piece where everything feeds back to. If I'm all the way over here, we're doing streaming audio, streaming videos and things that you'd be watching on Hulu and other streaming devices, that person's going to look you up. They're going to want to go to your website. And that's where that decision is made, right? If they're going to reach out to you, if they're going to make a purchase, do they have the right information? So that's that first piece that we focus on. And a lot of people, they may be very happy with their website. And it doesn't mean that we're looking through and just saying everything has to be wiped and has to be recreated. It has to be, where can we find areas of improvement with the client so that we can continue to build no matter what stage they are in that process. So we start with that website. We look at everything there and make sure that it's ready for everything else we're going to be doing. Then we're going to be looking at their Google Business Profile. We're looking through to make sure that they have the screens in there to be able to build that awareness, make sure that everyone is starting to generate interest. Then we have our social media management. That's what we consider the foundation of the online presence. It's where everything else is going to filter into. We move into the next stage, which is the lead gen. That's where we get into social media advertising, where we get into pay-per-click search advertising through Google, which owns over 86% of all of the search market. So those I like to look at as a push and a pull, right? And we try to see how the client is going to be engaging. If I'm working with a Renaissance festival, right, or some of the Bouncy Castle people that we work with, people aren't searching that volume quite as much as they're going to see it on social media advertising and be made aware that it's there. So you use social media advertising because it tells you almost everything about a person, right? We know the family, we know what they do for a living, what they engage with, what they're looking for entertainment. And so all of those metrics are used to find the right person who isn't necessarily looking in that moment to make that purchase. They just have every cue to say they'd be interested in it. So you announce it. You let them know, hey, a Renaissance festival is coming in a couple of weeks. You should buy tickets. That's the perfect avenue right there because you're thinking about how that client is going to be engaging. The next piece would be the search pay-per-click, right? That's someone who's actively looking to make that purchase right now. They've already decided, I want to get engaged. I want to do this right now. So if you think of something like, an auto store where they go and change out your brakes. If you get a social media advertising ad for the brakes, maybe you don't realize that you need brakes and we just hit you in that right time. But most likely you've got the light coming on in your car. You know you've hit that little sticker mile mark. You know you need to get to the point where you're going to have your brakes changed. So you're going to be looking that up. So it's going to be more powerful to put them into the pay-per-click section because we're just looking at how they're going to engage. And so right there, they're actively looking. Now you're the first person to show up when they're looking to get their brakes changed. And that's how we start to bring in that lead gen that directly results in income coming in that moment versus things that are building into the foundation, the organic side that's going to result in things over time, continuously building. But this is going to attack things right now in that moment of sale. And it's a powerful place to be in because that person wants that right now and you're grabbing them right then. So all of that feeds together to make a really cohesive strategy. But then after that, you get to the point of branding and awareness where you get into the geofencing and display. You start to get into the OTT and CTV where you've got your streaming video ads. You've got the radio now with Pandora and Spotify and all these other areas that we can target. There's so many pieces there that we can start to just get more and more people into your sales funnel. So now you've got your foundation piece where you're ready to capture everything. You've got your lead gen that's pulling people in those really powerful moments. Now you've got this top of the funnel that's making everyone aware of who you are and building trust because most people understand that they don't make a purchasing decision in the moment the first time they see an ad, right? It's usually about 5 to 7 times of repetitively seeing it to where you finally have this trigger in your mind of like, what is this? Or there's something to this because it keeps coming up. So some sort of success is happening with this business. I want to know more. And so if you can create more touch points with that client, it's going to bolster the effects of everything else that you have in that funnel because more and more people are going to trust that ad when they see it.
So first off, great explanation. With the, just to kind of bring it back a little bit, what you're saying is before you even go to pay-per-click, before you even go to brand awareness, some of these other pieces, it sounds like you should have a website in place if you're a business.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Perfect. And there's different layers to a website as well. So a lot of people just think of it as a flyer online, but there's so much more to that. And we can develop strategies around specific pages. So some people say, okay, I've got my website. It announces it's a poster. I'm here. I'm a legitimate business. But something to remember about websites are, do you want to compete with other people? Do you want to be found? Or do you want to just have a QR code that you can send someone to the website who already knows you exist? And I always lean towards the value of being found. Right, is competitive. That's what it means to be an entrepreneur. That means to be a small business, to be out there is to be constantly fighting for your right to survive. And so when we build a website, we take a look at a lot of different factors that go into that about how to make sure that you can be found and how to develop additional pages for not only the service areas, the services, everything that you need to do in order to be found. So sometimes people are like, oh, I have a list of services. Well, Google will take an additional deep dive into pages that are very specific about that, so it can connect the right person to you. And then we'll take a strategy where we develop individual service area pages that are interlinked with those services. So we can say, this is a service we offer in Grand Rapids, Michigan, right? And so now when someone's searching for that service in Grand Rapids, Google says, not only do they have that service, they have a page saying that they have that service right here, right now, and can start to rank you in that top three as well. So websites are so much larger than people sometimes think. It's not just a poster. It's about how you compete online, and it's a crucial piece to every single foundation.
It sounds like that definitely plays into that SEO and all the stuff you're talking about.
That's, yeah.
So you have the website, like you said, and now you're able to focus on whatever you want in terms of lead gen, things like that. If I'm a business owner, right? You know, I talk to business owners. What are you looking to get out of this? Oh, I want more sales, John. That's all I want. I just want to make more money, right? Of course, right?
And yeah.
So how do you decide, and how do you and your team strategize of, yes, maybe that's part of what we can do, or maybe we go all in on that right now, or maybe we don't. How do you kind of formulate based on the type of client whether they should be doing pay-per-click or they should be doing more of those other things like that you mentioned?
Well, we take a very consultative approach. It's not so much about sales at the end of the day of like what thing that is just the hot topic of that day or whatever's going on in the industry. It's about what's going to help this very specific person and their specific situation. And so we're always deep diving with them of going through, what have you tried in the past? What have those results look like? What are your goals going into the future? We look at their own client journey that of how they're engaging with people. What do they have to retain their clients? And we look at them on a very individualized basis to make sure that we're attaching the right products for the right goals and the right industry for the right area. And we also keep things very fluid. We do a lot of research. We do a lot of things to try to figure out the best tools, but it doesn't necessarily mean that every single market's going to have the same answer. So we might say, hey, we turned on your pay-per-click and your social media advertising. We really felt that pay-per-click was going to do better based off of all the metrics and the search volumes and everything that we researched. But we're getting such great results on social media advertising that we may want to shift a little bit of that budget over here. We just want to see where the data takes us so that we can do what's best for the clients.
How do these services pair with indoor billboards? Where do the indoor billboards come in? I know you mentioned part of that, but where do the indoor billboards truly fit into this kind of bigger, larger scope?
They're the centralized piece of everything, and they are part of the fastest growing sector in digital marketing, bar none. No matter what we talk about any of those other services, they don't have the growth potential that we have with this retail television, with these indoor digital billboards. So everything plays off of that. If we've got your Google Business Profile in there, we can turn around and put some of that information on the screens and start generating more reviews for you. If it's social media, we put the social media handles on there so you can start to get more followers based off of this very effective tool that's just constantly in everyone's face in their community as they're going around. No matter what we're looking at, it is how do we use the screens in conjunction? And that's why the number one thing that we use for most small businesses is going to be that combination of the Google Business Profile and the screens, because they play in a symphony together. You've got the screens, which provides that exposure and then gets people to start to search. And then you've got the data and what you can bring to the table with Google Business Profile. We can start to track the amount of people that are going for direction requests to be physically inside of your location. Website increases, phone call increases, the amount of engagement that you have with everything. All that's trackable through Google and supports everything that we're seeing through the screens. And we've got a lot of case studies that are showing that direct correlation of how the screens are contributing to an increase in website traffic and phone calls and people just coming into your store all through that Google Business Profile analytics. So everything is all about how do they play together and how do we maximize the efforts of both of them combined.
That makes perfect sense. And I know that, you know, just from your team, what you've been doing, pairing these products together, the client retention rates have skyrocketed even further because you're taking care of all of their marketing needs instead of saying, hey, I just do this or I just do this. You're really giving that cohesive campaign. So I love the fact that you laid all that out. Let's shift a little bit to talking about your team. Mm-hmm. You know, I do compliment a lot of people here, but in all seriousness, your team is so incredibly talented. It literally blows my mind. When they're talking to me, I don't know how the stuff they're saying, but I'm just like, you clearly know what you're talking about for all your individual, you know, kind of services or focuses based on whoever that is. So if you don't mind, expand a little bit on your team. How did you go about picking these individuals? What do they do on a day-to-day? Things like that.
Sure. I mean, at the end of the day, we're nothing without the right people, mm-hmm. right? And that's the core of the business. It's not only about their skill levels, which we always go through a very rigorous testing system of saying, you know, where's your knowledge base at? Where can we help improve? We send them through continuous training, classes, everything that we can possibly do to make sure that they're at the forefront of the field. But it's also about a cultural fit. Can they work with our partners and make sure that they support them and that their values align with the fact that we truly care about what the result of this is, not just checking a box. And that takes going through a lot of interviews. You know, we interview hundreds of people for each one of these positions to find that right fit for this business, for our partners, and for bringing us into the future. And so I'm extremely blessed where that's concerned because we put a lot of time and effort because I think that that, at the end of the day, is the one thing that we can control that will bring us into the future, that will allow us to continue to grow. And then as well as just making sure that there's a good cultural fit. If you don't have a consistency with your team, they're not on the same page, they start to bicker, those types of things, it takes away from our vision. It takes away from our true purpose of what we're doing here to support people. So we really put a big, heavy piece of what we focus on our day-to-day on making sure that we have the right people in the right places. And if they're not the right people and they're not the right fit, we have to make changes and we've got to make sure that we do what's best for them, but also what's best for our partners. So we put a lot of effort, a lot of focus into that. And I am extremely blessed. I mean, we have just heavy hitters in every single area and we've gone through a lot of revisions to get there. A lot of changes over the last couple of years to make sure that we have the right people in the right places. And I'm very proud of what we've been able to put together here as a team and the way that they interact and the way that they care about our partners.
It's incredible to witness every day. The energy is palpable. What you're doing with leading them and, like you said, finding all the right people, their knowledge, it's mind-blowing. You keep mentioning something that's one of my favorite words and terms here that we emphasize, focus on so heavily, and that's the culture, right? That is a huge piece of who we even are as an entire company on a day-to-day, all that kind of stuff. What does NTB360's culture look and feel like to you, Sean?
What a good question. It's an interesting culture because I've worked with a lot of different organizations and just different things that I've tried to create myself, but there's something truly unique here in just the way that they care about each other, about the partners that we work with, and truly doing what's best for the clients. And they spend a lot of extra hours sometimes just deep diving into the data and trying to figure out what's going to work best for everything. So if I had to describe our culture, it would be collaborative. It would be a lot of going against the grain sometimes. It really is this spirit of entrepreneurship that we want them to hold just as much as the partners. And so they're always looking for a scrappy way to make something better, to facilitate a new way to be able to get something done. And they really focus on that. But it's that collaboration of genuinely caring. And I think that's what I look for the most is if there's someone on this team who's struggling, they're going through something that day, they're just, you know, sometimes it's work, right? You get a couple bad calls and it's tough to pull yourself through that and just be like, you know, I'm working as hard as I can to resolve anything that may be going on. And people on this team will actively go out of their way to go and help someone else when that time comes. And I think that's the thing that sets us apart is the level of service that we want to provide, but also the spirit of that collaboration where we want to genuinely help each other. And I don't think there's ever been a time in this company that I've needed help or someone said, hey, I need some sort of support, if someone else hasn't stepped up to help them.
I've never once heard, oh, that's not my job. Never once. You know, it's really cool to be part of that. And a lot of times I talk about how we're kind of almost like a sports team in the sense that, you know, when you're on a team, you have the practice from this hour to this hour. And then you got people that come in a little bit early, people stay a little bit late. And usually the teams that are winning all the time are always there, always working together, always working towards that common goal. And not to be too cringy or cliche, but that's really how it is here. Everyone comes in early, stays late. We're all hanging out. It doesn't feel like work. Even though we're working hard, it doesn't feel like work because we're all, you know, truly part of this, like you said. And I mean, it's fantastic. So I appreciate you laying out that piece for us. With the support that your team provides, like you said, they're specialized in these different areas. Obviously, you guys have cohesive campaigns, different people working on this kind of stuff together and make sure everything has consistency. But from a franchisee's perspective, what does their life look like as a franchisee, and what does your team do to help them?
I think that's what really sets us apart more than anything else. I love that we've sat down and tried to identify what makes us unique, and we kept coming back to that service that we provide. I cannot tell you the amount of times as being an entrepreneur that I wished I had the level of support we provide for people, because it is truly A to Z across the board, whether it's training in sales, training in the individual products, training just to have a conversation sometimes because somebody calls and just says, hey, I've had a couple of no's today and you just need to pick me up. We really are there as a support structure for everybody across the board, but we also even help with the sales. We offer a service for discovery calls where we'll meet with the client and the franchisee and go through and deep dive with that client on every need that they may have, so that the franchisee doesn't have to feel like they're going to get into a technical question that they might stumble on or just not have the answer for, because they should be focusing on developing and growing their business and leave a lot of those technical pieces to us. And so we want to make sure we bridge that gap. So we provide all the way through the sales piece. You can get on that call. We'll go through what the best products are, every detail with that client, answer all of their questions, and then even provide a proposal for them afterwards for them to just walk in and have everything that we've discussed.
Wait, I know, sorry to stop you. So you guys help sell. You guys help franchisees sell. That's phenomenal.
So that's the number one thing I'm asking. Going through all of the training with them. We're getting them ready to go. But that part of that sale that we're helping them with is also an educational piece. We have a lot of franchisees that over the years have been a part of so many of those calls that they feel so comfortable with it that they're like, yeah, I've heard this 100 times. I've been a part of these conversations. So they get to learn and grow in there and feel more and more comfortable as time goes on, to where we have people that have been with us a couple of years. They bring us in as heavy hitters, right? They bring us in to look larger than life because they are. They have a support staff that separates them from any other small business in their area that is a massive organization with a lot of resources to be able to continuously push and support them in a way that other people just don't have access to. So they get to look larger than life, but then they get to bring us in for the heavy hits and those types of things. But if they're just going in and talking to somebody, they can sell some of the things because they feel comfortable because they've been a part of that process so much. So they never feel like they're walking into a situation that they've not already been a part of.
I have so many people that look at me and say, Patrick, never done sales. I've never done marketing. I'm terrified of that. I am petrified of selling something. What would you say to someone like that?
I would say sales is always scary, right? Sales is just as much of a mental game, and it's you never quite feel prepared enough that you're always going to get those butterflies. But I think that's also what makes it awesome. It's why I love sales so much. It's why I love getting involved in these pieces, is because you never know. It's like a live time where you're pivoting and you're changing and you're trying to figure out a way to show a value that you know you can provide. But that has to be explained correctly if they want to move forward with you and they want to partner with you. And so we're always looking for ways to help, right? It's not so much about just getting into that product. We want to genuinely find what's going to work best for them. And that can be a little scary sometimes. That's intimidating. You've got a lot of different products, a lot of different services. And so we've made it to where you don't have to feel comfortable with sales right away, because we'll handle all of that for you. You just have to feel comfortable having a conversation, just genuinely getting to know someone, being a part of your community, joining these groups. And I think that's what makes being a franchisee so much fun, is you become a central pillar in your community that people go to because you're so involved with everything. And we get to take all of the labor and all of the time off of your plate so that you can spend more of that time in your community, getting to know people. And all you've got to do is just come in and say, hey, We've been chatting, and you understand a lot of what I can offer you. I'd love for you to be able to sit down with my team of experts, and we could take a deep dive with you and look into all of these things. I'm here to facilitate your growth and your help, but I have a whole team of experts that can deep dive into this for you, and just set an appointment, and we'll take it from there.
And I love that you mentioned that. We kind of term it like the mayor of the town almost, where everyone, you're the person, the guy or gal that everybody wants to come to, because this type of business, that type of business, that type of business, because you're interacting with so many of them with what we do and with all the advertising locally. And sounds like you don't need to have some PhD in marketing and PhD in sales without it. No, I'm sure there is one these days, but you know what I'm saying. So I think alleviating a lot of that fear is good.
You don't really even have to have a lot of experience at all because we even have sales training courses for you where we'll practice and we'll go through and we'll role play and we'll pretend and we'll get you to a point where you feel comfortable. And that's, I think, so cool because I don't know of any other business where you join and then they actively teach you every single step of the process to where you feel comfortable. You're never going to feel like you're ready, right? But at least you know that you have a support staff behind you that will pick up in any areas that you might stumble.
I'm a franchisee. You help me. We get on the sales call. You help me with the proposal I give to my client. My client says, "Let's do it." They're coming on board. Okay, what do I do now?
So the next step is you're just going to confirm with us that you're ready to go. So we've got a nice little form, make sure there's no confusion on the exact services that they wanted to move forward with. And at that point, we send out a welcome email congratulating you and the client, and we're so excited to work on everything. We give you an appointment scheduling tool so that way you can say, this is what's going to work best for me and my client. We do the onboarding. So then we meet with your client, we get connected to all of their services. We make sure that we have a full vision for them. So we come to the table prepared of saying, this is what we've done the research on everything for you. This is what our vision for you is. And we make sure that's in line with their vision. We make our pivots during those conversations. We come up with a game plan. We start to make the creative, the ads, the everything that we need on that call. And then from there, we're going to give regular updates. And then we just take it and run with it. We're running their campaigns. We're updating you guys on what's going on. And then we're having report calls. So we'll even show up to explain the value because we feel like the reporting is just as important as everything else that we've done up to that point. They need to understand the difference that we've made every single month. And so we go in there for these reports and we'll explain what every single detail means and all of those three-letter, abbreviations that get thrown on those reports that don't always explain themselves. And we'll walk them through that so they can say, I know that I'm spending X and I feel the value of Y.
Dang. So doesn't sound like as a franchisee, I'm doing a whole lot once they're sold.
You get to spend your time going to events, doing all the things. And of course, we include you in every conversation. So if there's an email that's going on with the client, you are carbon copied on that. If there's a phone call, we're letting you know what happened because you deserve to know what's going on with every single step and any sort of things that we may need to pivot on. So we keep them in the communication the entire time and we make sure that their relationship is safe in our hands.
Dang, my PhD in marketing was for nothing.
Yeah.
So outside of all of the training, the sessions, which are already alone, all of the sales help that you're doing there, what other resources or tools are available to franchisees to help with these digital marketing services in terms of learning, maybe selling, whatever it may be?
Sure. So we have everything from training decks that are very meticulously put together. We've got outlines of pricing, we've got videos, and we even hold monthly webinars just for my department. Every department has one as well on Thursdays where we have a topic, and I'll come in and present an entire concept over that time period. We even have marketing materials. We make proposals. We will go through and any sort of physical material you may need, leave behinds, business cards. We develop a website that retailed would be over $20,000 that we're just providing for them so that they can make everyone jealous when they go to their website and say, hey, I want one of these. And that facilitates sales for them there. Every single detail is laid out on their website as a sales engine tool for them. They have an entire deck that goes through that they can present and walk through that goes through the specifics of every product, the pricing, everything that they may need. And if they think of a new material that may help them, we'll figure out a way to make it happen.
That's super turnkey. And I love having access to all that kind of knowledge. I mean, you have different types of people out there, the ones that want to dive in, want to know everything, want to know A to Z, right? And the types that are like, you guys know your stuff. I'll kind of do my stuff. And that's what it is. And I love the fact that you guys cater to that, whatever their style is. Sean, thank you so much again. Your knowledge, insights have been invaluable. I want to have you on again sometime if you're willing to do that, dive even deeper. I think we gave the people plenty to listen to for now. But if you don't mind, to kind of wrap this all in together, where do you see the future of digital marketing going with NTB 360?
it's an endless, endless journey. Obviously, everything is going to be in the growth sector around the screens and how that makes a unique proposition for everyone out there. And we're going to keep developing new and exciting ways to be able to support that. Digital marketing is so much fun because of that. There's an endless horizon for us to be able to explore. And I don't want to ruin too many of our surprises we have over the next year, but we're constantly researching and developing new ways that we can improve our products and even just ways that we can show our reporting to be able to increase the value for every client.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Sean. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on.
For more information on how to become an NTV 360 franchisee, please contact us at ntv360.com. NTV 360. Watch us.